Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
The naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a post Daylight Saving Times Monday. Boy, people are making a huge deal about an hour's sleep. Really? It's an hour's sleep? My goodness, what are you ruined for a day? Is there like jet lag between like, you know, hearing Lexington, Kentucky? Are you kidding me? Come on. All right, good show for you today. Danny Broussard, head coach of the STM Cougars, the back-to-back state champion Cougars, and a comeback for the ages will join us in studio 7 to 7:30. Mike Murphy, Jeff Palermo, and George Faust will join us as well. You're welcome to get in on the conversation on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 706-0111, 706-0111. We're in the 237 Roof Studios, powered by Lafayette Roofing, and you know, we should be talking about the STM Cougars state championship, and we will. We should be talking about LSU winning the regular season SEC championship, and we will. But the big hoo-ah, and this, I mean, this story got out of hand fast. It went from a Yahoo report to Will Wade not reading it to Will Wade getting suspended to Will Wade not talking to his bosses, to Javonte Smart sitting down. And yet they still blew out an undermanned Vanderbilt team. And walk-ons from Marshall Graves, who's now on Wade Sims's scholarship, to Will Reese getting in the ballgame. Let's figure out how this is going to end. We all can see how this is going to end, right? We think, anyways. All right, Will Wade's going to get on that stand and said what he did, and it's going to go poorly for him in the end, and it's going to go poorly for LSU in the end. And Javonte Smart probably isn't coming back to LSU. But that's the way it was going to end anyways. That's the way this was going to be, regardless of what happened. In the middle of March or at the end of April. If LSU thinks for a second that the NCAA is going to be any more lenient on them, not going to happen. I explained it to you people, a YP already, first thing on a Monday morning. Syracuse tried that. They tried sitting down Fab Mello. Didn't work. They lost and got suspended. Put on probation. Why don't they go the Carolina way? Fake classes. Doggummit. I didn't know. Like Roy Williams would tell you. How would I possibly know all the classes that my all of 15 students are taking every year? And they beat the rap. Right? They're a blue blood. Carolina's a blue blood. They can't cheat. Isn't Zion Williams' father in those transcripts about wanting money from Kansas? Where did he end up? Oh, Duke. And meanwhile, Mike Krzyzewski's head is in the sand, telling you, well, I don't think that stuff goes on anymore. Right. Sean Miller out in Arizona in all kinds of trouble, basically saying goodbye over the weekend. It's been a good 10 years. Take care. Bill Self in his situation, he's still coaching. But Will Wade's the one who's sitting down. This is not going to end well for LSU either way. I hope they bring Javonte Smart back. Someone's got to realize We're going down either way. Whatever the case is, it's not going to end well for us. We might as well ride it out. And LSU fans won't care one iota. All right? Basketball doesn't rank high in this part of the world. It just doesn't. It's a lot of fun, and people are into it when they play well. All right? Even, you know, before kind of the Ben Simmons thing went into the tank, that was the thing. Right? The first time I went to go see Ben Simmons, one of the, you know, I got 10 seconds of Ben Simmons warming up, and it went viral for whatever viral goes for me. And I, you know, a couple thousand views. And then you realize, oh, goodness, Ben Simmons is a thing. Not just here at LSU. Right? They weren't selling out all year long. They didn't sell out until they started beating Kentucky and Tennessee. Right? They weren't selling out, you know, South Carolina games and Georgia ball games. I think maybe the Auburn game was sold out. But then you beat Kentucky. And the Florida game gets sold out, which they lost. That Tennessee game is obviously going to be sold out. The A&M game, I think, was sold out. And, of course, Vanderbilt was sold out. But if LSU wins the national championship and then gets put on probation for 3 years and the national championship is taken away, you don't think everyone's going to have T-shirts that say 2019 national champions? They sure are. I'm going to get one. I hope this team makes a Final Four run. Right now, as long as they get Javonte Smart back, I'm not so sure about Will Wade. They look pretty good without Will Wade. Not sure, you know. Better coach than Johnny Jones, but that's not a high bar to cross. This team still has a chance to go to the Final Four. They're already playing Friday in the quarterfinals. They may have to play Florida. That may not be a good matchup. They've had a couple of tough games against the Gators. But if they win that ball game, they're at least going to be a 2 seed if they're in the semis of the SEC tournament. And if they play in the championship game, they're definitely a 2 seed, and they could play their way into a number 1 seed because Duke is playing their way out of it. Duke's all kind of banged up. Zion supposedly is playing. Their center Bolden got hurt against Carolina. We'll see how long Duke lasts in the ACC tournament. But LSU could absolutely be a 1 or 2 seed. And find themselves in Minneapolis in a month, or in a couple weeks, as it turns out. And no one's going to care 2 or 3 years down the road, or next year for the fact of the matter. Although these things seem to take, they certainly seem to take their time with Carolina. Wasn't that like a 3-year investigation about fake classes? And then they came out and said, no big deal, because everybody was getting credit for taking fake classes. It wasn't a, quote, student-athlete benefit. Everybody was taking fake classes and getting credit for it. And there are some people, right? We've seen this, you know. Jay Wright doesn't do this. Tony Bennett doesn't do this. Yada, 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 yada. There's an SB Nation report that says 50 coaches are in trouble. We'll see what happens. We have reached out to Stephen Haney. I think it's the right Stephen Haney. Christian Dawkins' attorney, just to get an overview of where we are, because I'm kind of lost, right? Some guys were found guilty already, and yet we have another trial coming up. That's the one that Will Wade is going to testify in April 22nd. And they're somehow going to try and show that it's not only the middlemen that are dirty, but it's the coaches are dirty. But what the coaches are doing are not illegal. It's against NCAA rules. There's no law, local, state, or federal, that says you can't pay a player. Those are NCAA guidelines. No one goes to jail for this stuff up until now. And even the judge in the case that sent, you know, a couple of Adidas executives, and I think Dawkins, like 6 months to 9 months, was kind of saying to the folks, why is this even in my courtroom? Why are we even doing this? As if there was fraud wrought upon the schools, as if the schools didn't know what they were getting into. This is not going to end well for LSU in the end. But if they win a national championship, no one's going to care. No one's going to care. Will Wade has probably coached his last game for LSU. And someone needs to explain to me why he doesn't meet with his coaches. And, you know, following the guys, the bloggers online and everything along those lines, you know, people are, you know, crushing Will Wade for not meeting with his bosses without his attorneys. Get the attorneys on the phone. The attorneys can't be on the phone. I don't know where the attorneys are, if they're in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, or D.C. I don't know where they are. I don't know who his attorneys are. And I don't care. If the attorneys are busy or can't do anything in person, the attorneys could have been on the phone with Will Wade sitting in Joel Leva's office or F. King Alexander's office on the speakerphone. And you could have gone as easy as this. Hey, guys, guess what happens if Will Wade fills you in on what he did or did not do? Guess what happens then? Guess who is the next guy subpoenaed in that federal case? Joel Leva. Then guess who's up next? F. King Alexander. As soon as Will Wade tells the bosses what's going on, one way or the other, they're witnesses. They're going to be questioned. So you could have just said that. In everyone's best interests, Will Wade and the administration decided just to kind of put him to the side for a bit. But again, guess what's going to happen? In full cooperation of the NCAA, the NCAA has been on top of this with LSU from the get-go. And here's the other thing I heard yesterday, and I got to check this out. I don't know how much inside information this is, but apparently Joel Leva is hiding behind the compliance officer, and the compliance officer suggested to sit Javonte Smart. Didn't all of this come out like last October? All of this came out last October, right before the season tipped off. I even think it came out, well, I was going to say before they started practice, but I don't think so. Right around that time, though, the compliance officer, I know they're in charge of every athlete on campus, and when it's LSU, you know, that includes beach volleyball. Thank goodness. But I got 15 guys on the basketball team or whatever it is, all right? I bet you I only have to look at 10 of those guys, and I probably could eliminate two or three immediately. So I got to look into seven guys. Call the parents, see what they say, talk to the students, and talk to the coaches. It shouldn't take that long. The compliance officer, and this is way before we knew about a quote about, you know, the smart offer or anything along those lines. The compliance officer should have had this done by Thanksgiving. It shouldn't have taken that long. You can look into each one of these guys individually rather quickly. Get the coaches in there, get the players in there, see if their stories are copacetic and their parents all on the same page. Then if it's an issue, it's an issue back in November and not in March. But this is not, you know, I hope they make a run to the Final Four. I hope they win a national championship. And, of course, here's where the vitriol comes out of LSU fans. It's not so much what Will Wade is doing. It's that the national media, the Dan Wolkins of the world, we had Dan O'Neill on, the Pat Fortys of the world, the Pete Thamels of the world, and the Dick Vitales of the world, who are all up in arms about this, but boy, when you know it comes to Calipari and to Pitino and to Roy Williams, Dick Vitale is as blind as a bat. It's not that people are justifying what Will Wade did. It's that those other people don't want to get into a mess with the Blue Bloods, the Bill Selfs of the world. Right? You can even go on Twitter and find Dick Vitale defending Sean Miller. That's where the LSU fans are upset. All right, that was the tough news. Let's talk about a ball game. That was a whale of a ball game. As soon as we heard Javonte Smart wasn't playing, Cody, I told your boy, the famous Clint D, Marshall Graves time, and that's what it was. He ain't shy, man. Him and Days just bombing away from threes. Back after this on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday morning sports chat. It's the 11th. This thing didn't last 48 hours, all right?
It's 3-11 day.
3-11. That means something?
Well, as I play Fallout Boy, it's 3-11. Oh, okay. The band 3-11.
Oh, okay. All right. Someone was 3-10 was the thing, but I didn't.
It's Mario Day.
That's Mario Day.
March 10th, the abbreviation M-A-R. 10 looks like Mario.
Got it. That yesterday was a Sharif Ishak and Luke Johnson thing. I didn't get that either.
So, yes, me and Kaysen did play two rounds of Mario Party yesterday.
Okay. So that's like me watching the
Captain Marvel
movie and getting all the references in it because they were from the 80s and the 90s and Cody, half of them going past them.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. I had a Happy Days lunchbox with the Happy Days thermos, just to let you know. Is that a big thing? Was that a spoiler alert?
No. But I would say your Happy Days lunchbox is probably more popular now than it has been in the last 20 years.
Right. All right, so A-Rod got engaged to J-Lo. He posted a picture because, of course, he did. I mean, everybody does, so it's not anything. She said yes, all right? This is posted March 9th, 2019, 8:43 p.m., all right? Meanwhile, Jose Canseco came back. All right. Watching the world of dance, watching J-Lo text Alex Rodriguez does little. Little does she know that he is cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl, she has no idea who he really is. That was 9:07, March 10th. About 24 and a half hours in. Because I got a great Shut Up Dave poll question, Cody. And they're not even married yet. Which marriage is going to last longer? Cody or Kaylee or A-Rod and J-Lo? I'm all for Cody and Kaylee. Right? April 29th, by the way, Cody, is their Kardashian anniversary. I count it.
Is that what we're shooting for? Okay.
And that's the first milestone.
Yeah.
All right. Other than, you know, making it back from the honeymoon.
Right.
Okay. But this guy, Jose Canseco, by the way, Cody, did you see this? And I'm not going to do it, but others will, right? He meant to send a direct message to somebody. Maybe J-Lo. I don't know.
Nah.
Put his phone number out on Twitter.
Dummy.
Oh, yeah. I got it, right? Let's see. I saved it in a picture. Super genius move of
that
the day.
That was...
Let me see. I got it. It's...
Of all the things to do, that was the one that's going to be the most annoying because now you have to change your phone number, Mr.
Right.
Canseco.
I mean, it's 702-374, and you can find the rest online, although it does look like he took it down.
Right. But if you have the screenshot, so does everyone.
Well, everybody did. Everybody already put it in their phone. Everyone put it in their contacts. Oh, isn't that Vegas? Is 702 Vegas?
I don't know.
Right? You know some radio show is going to call them.
That is indeed Vegas. Right.
They haven't even gotten past the weekend, and someone claiming that A-Rod isn't going to be faithful. I was trying to think of this, Cody. Can we think of two bigger divas that married each other? I mean, Kanye is a little whack.
Diva is...
I mean, you got Bobby Brown and Whitney, right? What about Blake Shelton and his wife? Who's his new wife?
Gwen Stefani.
Yes, right? I'd put them as two divas. Oh, yeah. You got
certainly
any more?
Two famous people.
Is Kanye and... No, I'm talking divas, right? Like, you know, I don't think the girl from Frozen is a diva. I could be wrong on that. She doesn't come off that way anyways. And
well, Gwen Stefani wasn't famous for like 15 years in between her two stints of being famous.
Sure she was. She had a solo album.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't. She, like, there was No Doubt, and then there is this part of her career with The Voice and everything.
Right.
And if we're going to call those the peaks, there was certainly a valley in between. Right. Maybe not famous.
So was she famous for being married to the lead singer of Coldplay? Is that what you're saying?
No, she was more famous for being the lead singer of No Doubt and being married to the guitar player from Bush.
Oh, Bush. Okay. Oh, all right. My bad. Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow was Coldplay.
I was going to say, Gwen Stefani may have been.
Yeah,
I didn't,
no, Gwyneth Paltrow.
I didn't have the information to correct you, so I just went.
The wrong one.
Yeah,
wrong
I didn't have the so. Because then it would have been me correcting someone with information that I wasn't sure about.
Can we, I mean, there you go. It's up already. I mean, I'm going Cody and Kaylee without a doubt. You know.
I'll take that vote of confidence.
How about, shut up, Dave. Does A-Rod and J-Lo even get to the wedding ceremony?
Oh, they'll get there, right?
You think so?
I mean, J-Lo wants that day, right?
For the fourth time?
I mean, sure. She's J-Lo. Live for excess. I'm not saying it's not crazy.
Can it be that special for the fourth time?
I mean, Mariah Carey only eats, what, like green M&Ms or something like that? Because they all taste different.
There you go.
I don't know. Is she married?
Well, that was the thing. That was the thing back when we were
she was
kids.
With Nick Cannon, but
wasn't that a thing?
That was more of a fanboy thing.
Wasn't the green M&M's the thing?
I mean,
don't you know what that thing was, right?
What?
It's supposed to be a aphrodisiac, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Not really. Though. I mean, it was a thing when we were kids.
Right. Fair enough. Because I just think it's hilarious. She only wants green M&M's.
That's it. That's the deal, right? But even the guy that she married, I mean, she was dating Derek Jeter, so they would both be divas.
Mariah Carey married Nick Cannon, and then
but
that
he's
it.
Not a diva.
He was
right?
He was like a kid star,
right?
Type
Chris
thing.
Murphy's not a diva.
He had a poster of Mariah Carey in his bedroom.
No doubt. I'm just trying. You know, I mean, I don't think Richard Marx is a diva, but I think his wife is one. Daisy Fuentes, maybe. I mean, she's smoking. That's his second wife. He was married to the Rosanna girl in Toto's video, Rosanna. And she was in Dirty Dancing. She did all the choreography in Dirty Dancing. But, yeah. Already two votes. Kaylee's chirped in. Shut up, Dave.
Nah.
All right. We'll get to the LSU game. I just had to get all that stuff out of the way. Here it is. At J-Lo, if you want the truth about Alex Rodriguez, call me. When a tweet is supposed to be a DM. I mean, do we just call that number to see if it's available? Just to see what happens? Is he really? He's going to answer the phone, isn't he? Or did he just put out any number?
It'd be funny if it was like one of those hotlines. It's probably not, but it'd be funny if it was.
72 area code. I mean, I think it's Vegas. I could be wrong on that. No, it is. It's Vegas. Why I know that, I don't know. Why I knew that, I don't know. All right, we'll be back. Let's talk LSU SEC championship.
This would be 311.
There you go. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday Morning Sports Chat. Call us in what you guys think is going to happen with LSU. I think Javonte Smart's coming back. I don't think Will Wade's coming back. We'll see. I think they're going to end up on probation anyways if any of this stuff is true. To be honest with you. All right, so why don't you play Javonte Smart anyways? And you're still going to end up, you know, in NCAA purgatory for a couple of years, so it don't matter. Play them, and let's try to win this thing. All right, 7-0-6-0-1-1-1, 7-0-6-0-1-1-1 on the ARCO equipment hotline if you want to get in on the conversation. Meanwhile, they actually, you know, had a game. And I got a buddy of mine. We actually worked in South Florida together at a golf school, what is now Trump, but it was Doral. And he runs the Jim McClain Golf School in Dallas. I think Romo has practiced there once in a while. And he's a big LSU guy. He's from Louisiana. He caddied a couple of times, or maybe just once, actually, in the Chittimacha Louisiana Open for one of his golfers. And he's a big LSU guy. And how's this going to end and everything like that? And he asked me what's going to happen tonight. And I think by that time we knew Smart wasn't going to play. And I said, quote, Cody, they're going to crush him. And they did. I thought the starters, and there's really nobody else, to be honest with you, Cody. I'm trying to get these guys out of there at the end of the ballgame. They were up 30 points with 6.5 minutes to go. Right? And Darius Days fell on his backside because he slipped. Could you imagine if that was a knee on one of the, you know, on Marlon Taylor, on one of the Williams, on Trey Waters? Get these guys out of there. But there was nobody else, right? You had Marshall Graves and Will Reese, and that's it. Everybody else is in a T-shirt or a long-sleeve shirt, right? Naz Reid was out. Everybody else, I'm told, is being redshirted. But they could not miss from three early on, and that's been, right, that's been their big bugaboo all year long, is they have not been able to hit from threes all season. And that was not necessarily the big problem against, certainly not in the beginning. Against Vanderbilt. I mean, they were bombs away. They had eight threes. Who made the eighth one? Was it Trey Waters? Or Taylor? I forget. It wasn't one of the two guys hitting them all.
It wasn't Marshall Graves? Because he hit a late three, but late in the second half, but I don't know if it was
that would have been, No. Let's see what they did. Because usually they shoot about 32% from three.
Yeah, Marshall Gray's final three was the 61st point, was 61 okay. points, so right. It would be after that.
They were 12 of 24. They hit 50% from three.
And a few of them were deep threes.
Marshall Gray's 4 of 8. Days 5 of 6. I didn't even know who Will Reese was. Played on the baseball team. I'd look him up. You know who he is?
I mean, the name sounds familiar, but I did not know. No,
I didn't know. Skylar Mays, 2 for 5. Trey Waters, 1 for 4. Marlon Taylor, 0 for 1. And Marlon Taylor had another ridiculous, you know, high-flying trapeze act dunk.
Yeah.
In between a couple of defenders. So no Naz Reid, no Devontae Smart. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys played. Eight guys played. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were in double figures. 6 in double figures. Big B Williams, 10 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. Skylar Mays, 13 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. Trey Waters, 14 points, 8 assists, 4 steals. A total of 2 turnovers. Marlon Taylor, 10 points. Darius Days, 15 points on 5 of 6 shooting from 3, 5 of 9 overall. So he was better from 3 than he was from 2. 0 of 3 from 2.
And one of those very many 2 turnovers
right.
from Trey Waters
right.
sure looked like a kicked ball that they just didn't blow the whistle.
Oh, okay.
Now, I know I'm being picky because he had 2 turnovers altogether.
Right, right.
One of them definitely looked like a kicked ball that just didn't get a whistle.
Looked like he was on a yo-yo. It looked like he had a ball on a yo-yo when going up against the guy. And even Dane Bradshaw says this is going to be one of the biggest mismatches you've seen all season long.
And then there you go.
Dane Bradshaw was like, well, I can see this coming. I don't have to be Tony Romo to tell you what's coming next. Right? Hold it. Trey Waters, spread the court out. Right? I'm going to go, come back, go again, come back. And, you know, and then I'm going to dish it off to, I guess it was Emmett Williams with the monster dunk.
You could see both of the alley-oops to Taylor. I mean, it was like a football
right.
play.
Right.
Almost. Trey Waters
right.
comes up, stops towards the top of the key. Marlon Taylor comes along the sideline, hits the baseline, hard cut in, and then there goes the right. pass. And there's nothing you can do.
Days and Graves were a total of 9 for 14 from 3.
Stay hot.
0 for 4 from 2.
Catch the pass. Back up.
Yeah. LSU wins that. When I tell you they win it 80-59 and the game wasn't that close, the game wasn't that close. It was a 30-point ball game.
Vandy started drilling threes.
They did, but it didn't matter.
But no, that's what made
right.
it a little closer.
Yeah, they started
than the
making
scores.
Some shots.
Yeah,
I was much more concerned that they got out of this game healthy. And are we concerned at all about Naz Reid? Really? I mean, a bloody lip?
Just fishy.
Bloody
sort
lip?
Of, sort of fishy. I don't
Something's not quite right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? He could have a concussion, right? I mean, he took a knee to the chops.
Possible.
Right? Also, one of those things, it's Vanderbilt. We're probably not going to need him. Right? He can rest over a week before we need him. Now, they're talking about it, and this will be interesting, not to get all conspiracy theory like Cody, because I'm sure it was an intern mistake or something along those lines. But Amy Just from the, Times-Picayune, right? Brody Miller's compadre. Amy Just from the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. She sent out a tweet that had the, here you go, inbox. The all-SEC teams and other individual accolades will be released on Tuesday. We've got the last full SEC teleconference with the teams, with all the teams on the docket tomorrow. Postseason awards, this is right from the SEC. Postseason awards will be released Tuesday. Coaches teleconferences, the 14 SEC head men's basketball coaches will preview the SEC men's basketball tournament Monday, March 11th. A replay will be available on secsports.com. Each coach will appear on the teleconference for 7 minutes, according to the following schedule. Order of appearance. All times central. And these are exact, can I tell you? 9:46, Ben Howland, Mississippi State. 9:52, Kermit Davis, Ole Miss. 10 o'clock, Bryce Drew, Vanderbilt. 10:07, Michael White, Florida. 10:14, Frank Martin, South Carolina. 10:21, Tom Crean, Georgia. 10:28, Will Wade. Whoa.
I'm feeling that's where that was going.
10:28, Will Wade, LSU.
Not Benford.
Doesn't say that. I think that's a mistake.
Probably.
I think that's an oversight. All right. We'll see.
If this was the WWE, it's not an oversight. That is booking to its finest, right. But I don't know.
Also, a heads up, right, because this thing is fluctuating, right? This all came down from Wednesday to Thursday to Friday.
Fluctuating, right? He said fluctuating.
Right? Is that the wrong word?
No. Oh. It just fluctuating, oh. Said very fastly. Sounds,
oh,
like you're
did
just,
I say something else?
Well, no, it just,
wrong?
No, you're
all
fine.
Right,
it just sounds.
All right.
It's early. That's all
right,
I'm saying.
All right. I noticed you didn't reach for the
no, because we're fine. But
okay, all right. I'm not even going to try it again. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to say it wrong.
That's what self-fulfilling prophecy.
I'm not even going close to it. All right. It was a very fluid process on Friday. So we're changing things, right, because we had, right, last week we had the women's play. LSU women's played on Thursday, and if they won, you know, they play on Friday, so you got to change the schedule. And what we call traffic here, and we're not talking about, you know, Cody's or Tanya's updates for the traffic. Traffic in radio parlance is where the commercials go in what we call the logs, and that kind of runs the shows. And so the person who runs traffic here is, hey, do we have the Will Wade show on Monday? Is he going to do it? Well, on Friday, I was like, well, yes and no. I doubt he's going to do it, but I guarantee you the Will Wade show is happening tonight. We'll see, though. Can he crash his own show?
It's crazy there hasn't been a release or anything about that, huh?
In terms of what? The Will Wade show?
Who is, if he will be, or he won't be there, but.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We're certainly all going to tune in to 10:28 at the SEC teleconference this morning, right?
Right.
We'll take that live during the rap game with RP3, if you want to.
We'll just cut in the middle and just take it at that specific moment.
Just to see who's on it.
Right.
Right? And then we'll all tune in tonight. Will Wade show will be live, 7 p.m. We know Chris Blair will be on it, but we don't know who's going to be sitting next to him.
Right. The Will Wade show may just be the name of the show.
Correct.
Today.
Correct. Yeah, that's a sponsored deal. And tonight's the last one.
Is it real?
I mean, you know, for the season, it may be the last one, period.
LSU Men's Hoops Coaches Show for the postseason coaches show.
And Mineri starts coming up.
Oh, the Paul Mineri.
He's got his own issues.
Right.
Well, not his issues. His team does. All right.
I'm
sorry to tell you. All right. You do not have to be, you know, Skip Bertman to see Zach Hess is not a Friday night starter. I get it that he pitched better against California. And, you know, we could talk about this next. But you want to give him credit for the whole thing not spinning out of control. Did you watch it on Friday, Cody?
The very end, because I was watching Captain Marvel. But I did watch the last three innings.
Okay, but the beginning, right, he gives up a home run on the third pitch, and then he walks Andrew Vaughn. This thing could have spun out of control, as Robichaud says, instantaneously. Ended up with two on and two out. Right, a couple of more base hits, and he doesn't make it out of the first. He makes it all the way to the sixth, gets the first two guys, can't get the rest of it. So he leaves with two on and two out in the sixth. A couple of walks later and a pass ball, two more runs are in. So his line doesn't look quite as good, right? It was five innings, one run. Now it's 5 2/3, three runs. So he pitched better, but not Friday night in the SEC better.
Right.
It was one of those, seven innings, one run better.
You can't win it in the first, but he sure almost lost it in the first.
Yes. Yes, yes. You can't, obviously, yes. That's a good, that's right. You can't win the Masters in round one, but you can lose it, right? He pitched better, but still not Friday night starter status. No way. Cole Henry pitched very well. Now you got this other situation where Todd Peterson, you know, Palmieri tried to get two innings of Todd Peterson, and that blew up in game one of the doubleheader. That's, I mean, that, you know, we came into the season, everyone told me to settle down, and, you know, a lot more questions than people wanted to admit. Zach Hess, Todd Peterson, the freshman. You know, it may all work itself out, but I think that Zach Hess has one more start in him on Friday night, and that'll be against Kentucky. All right, back after this, we'll talk LSU baseball. We still got lots more to do. Danny Broussard coming in here at 7, we hope, on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday Morning Sports Chat, Danny Broussard, head coach of the STM Cougars, the two-time defending state champs, back-to-back champions. He is on his way, so he'll be live in the studio from 7 to 7:30. Mike Murphy will talk Cajuns basketball. Jeff Palermo will talk all things LSU. Anything going on with LSU these days, Cody? We got anything to talk to Jeff about? How's the golf?
Yeah, I think
gymnastics had a 10, right?
Beach volleyball, I believe, is in the top five, right? Highest ranking they've ever had.
Right. You know, some people just have it the wrong way. And I don't want to get into this, right? And I don't even know who she is. Who had the 10? You know who had the 10? I guess it would have been Friday night.
I'm not sure. Kaylee mentioned it, but I don't know the girl's name.
She had a 10. Classmate, right? She's senior at LSU, right? She's senior. Mm-hmm. Darius Geis would be a senior.
Right.
So they're classmates, right? He posed with her after the match, right? She's white. He got grief for it on Twitter. Can you imagine that?
I don't even get that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even.
He's posing with a classmate. He got grief for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand
that. I don't understand it.
No.
I don't get it. All right. So we talked about last week, we talked about the Cajuns basketball team pulling one out, down by 12, no Jakeenan Gant, no Jerikus Davis, playing with four guards and somehow beating Little Rock. And then they went on and beat Arkansas State in overtime with no Marcus Stroman, and they got issues with that. All right. So they didn't have any business beating Little Rock last Thursday. Let's go back and talk about that Friday night ball game with LSU and Cal. And you could see it coming, Cody. You could see it coming. I don't know what it is. I'd love to know what LSU's record is at the box since I've been here. What is this? You're number 6? I'd love to know what their record is in the box when trailing after 7 innings. Because I bet you they got about 24 wins, which is a lot. Maybe even that many trailing after 8. They had one on and two outs. Right? Saul Garza leads it off with a base hit. He gets pinch run for, as you would expect. Then DiGiacomo gets an infield base hit. Beats it out. Third baseman kind of double pumped, but I don't think it would have mattered. Let's get this. Make sure we get this right, all right? Oh, I'm sorry. Beloso flied out to left first. One out. Garza pinch hit for Bruce Hardy, single through. So there's one on and one out. All right? This is where Mondo Duplantis would come in and pinch run for anybody, but they put Drew Bianco in. I mean, really? All right, so Mathis, Brock Mathis, then flies out to right. All right. One on, two out. DiGiacomo, infield base hit on an 0-2 pitch. Two on, two out. Hughes strikes out swinging on a pitch that landed about a foot short. Wild pitch. Right.
And the pitch was so bad, he could claim that he did it on purpose.
It was awful. Bases loaded. Josh Smith is lost at the plate. Lost at the plate. Let's hear what happened, Cody.
2-2 delivery. Popped up. Little bloop.
And yes! Sweeper up in center field. Coming around to score. Bianco. DiGiacomo will touch home plate. And Josh Smith with a walk-off single scoring two runs. And the Tigers win 4-3. Tigers win. Tigers win. They stay unbeaten here at home with a walk-off single from Josh Smith.
He even admitted, awful swings. Got enough on it. If that bat is wooden, he might not have gotten a base hit. It might have been a pop-up to the shortstop. Instead, it falls in. Tigers take it, and it's just something, you know. What'd you think, Cody? I mean, I just thought as soon as DiGiacomo, not Garza, but as soon as DiGiacomo reached, they're going to win this ballgame. Not tie the game, they're going to win it in the ninth.
It was the Hal Hughes. I was a batter behind you.
Okay.
I'll admit it. Right. I wasn't as calm. I was a batter behind you.
You could see it. It was slow motion. I mean, he struck out on a 2-2 pitch. Sixth pitch of the at-bat. Wild pitch. As soon as that happened, you're right. I mean, you know, it was like no doubt it was going to happen. No doubt. Josh Smith, the flare. No play at the plate. 4-3. They did blow the first game on Saturday, but came back to win the second game. They do take 2 out of 3, and they get Kentucky this weekend, which I think all works out, Cody, because basketball is all during the day.
Yeah, unless you've got the first game, right?
First two games are at noon. I think all three games are at noon if they get that far. One's baseball. Let's see. I had it, and I moved it. 7, 6:30, and 2. We'll worry about Sunday later. Maybe join in progress, right? After an SEC title game, join in progress. Back after this, head coach of the two-time champion, back-to-back champs, four-time overall, but back-to-back champion, SCM Cougars, Danny Broussard on his way live in studio, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game. Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
I've had my shots and kicked in my face, but I come through. I need to go
on, 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 on.
We are the champions, my friends. And we'll keep on fighting.
Oh, they certainly are. Twice. And I'm going to have a bone to pick now with Ronnie Rance. If he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame this time, he's going to have to deal with Kaylee. I'm going to stick Kaylee on him. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Monday morning sports chat. Congratulations to Danny Broussard and STM Cougars coming away with an improbable victory over De La Salle in not one overtime, but two overtimes. Down 13 in the fourth quarter. Never a doubt, Coach, right? Never a doubt. Had it all the way. Just like the Patriots, down 28-3. Had it all the way. No doubt, right?
Right, exactly. I had a couple guys yesterday say that. I said, never in doubt. I said, yeah, right, exactly. Dave, it's one of those games that if they wrote a script about it, it'd be hard to believe. You know,
right.
You're like, oh, this really can't happen, you know. it's hard to explain. I'll have to watch the replay. You know, I guarantee if somebody watching that game with 5 minutes to go in the game, even with 4 minutes to go in the game, they're like, no, they just can't. You know, it's just not their night. They just can't do it. It looked like every time we made a run. As a matter of fact, I remember this specifically. We cut it to six. Our crowd kind of got behind us. You could tell the momentum was our way. We were pressing. We had to. That's the only way we get back in the game. The only way we get
right.
We're pressing, and you would know it. The few times they broke it, hit the corner guy. And you know, that's what's going to happen on a press, Dave. You're going to have sometimes open looks on the other end.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's sometimes why you don't press. Right. If you got a great shooter, you're like, you're going to leave him open on the press. Sure enough, they got it to this kid named Ned, number five, in the corner. And he drained the three, and I'm like, God, we just cut it to six. And at that point in time, I felt like, man, you know what? It just might not be our day today, you know, because he got it back to nine again.
Right.
But, man, we just kept chipping away, Dave, and I tell you, you know, when you know, you hear the cliche about, you know, never give up, don't quit. And, I mean, when the fourth quarter started, well, let me tell you, go back to halftime.
Right.
At halftime, I told him, you know, we down 13.
You had a bad second quarter. But at the end of
half,
one.
A bad half. 14 well, points. 14 points at half.
Yeah, but it was like, wasn't it 12-10 at the end of one?
I wasn't that close, but it was, yeah, we were down.
Yeah, I think it was 12-10, yeah, maybe 14-10. Yeah, you were not that bad at the end of one.
Right, right.
Bad second quarter.
Second quarter.
Right.
Scored 4 points.
Right.
So we got 14 points at halftime.
Right.
Can't get anything going.
I'm sure you were quiet.
Yeah.
And
yeah, sure. I just
very non-denied.
Nice and calm.
Yeah,
nice
very,
and calm.
Right.
Cody
right.
shaking his head.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, so my point to them was, okay, so we're down 13, all right? So we're not going to be able to catch it up all at once. So our goal was at halftime, say, let's cut this thing to seven or six, whatever.
Right.
Seven, six. I said, if we do that, we have a great shot at this game. Let's just chip away.
Right. Give them a chance to choke.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, well, when I looked at the clock to start the fourth quarter, and I got the, you know, you got the timeout, and the referee came to me and said, it's going to be a long one because we forget, high school guys are not used to TV timeouts,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So the timeout, instead of being a minute, was almost like 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
So the referee did a good job of coming to me and said, Coach, it's going to be a long one. So I knew going in. So I looked at the clock and I said, man, guys, we're down 13. We didn't cut it to seven. Still down 13.
Danny Broussard, super genius.
Right, right. And former math teacher.
Right, right, right.
So I just told him, I said, hey, guys, listen. We down, but we got nothing to lose. I said, let's lay it all on the line. I said, all of our traps have to be the best traps we've had all year long.
Right.
I said, you guys in the back, we just got to be aggressive. Go take all the way to the passing lanes.
Right.
They get a layup, So be
right,
it.
Right, right.
But we have to, we got to gamble.
Right. Sure,
we gotta,
sure.
We got to get
right.
steals. We got to gamble. It's an all-out press. I said, and I tell you, if you do that, I believe him, we have a shot. We still got a chance. It's a long game. It's eight more minutes. And Dave, sure enough, man, like when I'm telling you, most of the traps happen right in front of me. And when I'm telling you, that we smothered those guys.
Right.
That, you know, Dave, when you trap like that, this is how we do it. It's not all teams. I kind of get sometimes wonder about it. I watch even the college games, and I don't understand. Like, they're trap a lot, but, Dave, they always leave the first pass. Like, the guys side to side with you.
Sure.
They leave that first pass open. Well,
right.
Well, I guess what they're kind of doing is a deflection of stealing the trap itself. But,
right.
But we flood that gap. We don't let them make that pass. That,
no, no. You want them to make the skip pass.
Yes.
Right, right, right. So Logan Rader can come in
that's
and get
right.
and catch
that's exactly
right. Or Holstein can come in.
Or Jack Besh.
Right, okay.
Jack Besh was our
all
guy.
Right.
Speaking of Jack Besh, real quick,
right.
This kid does not practice for 3 weeks. You hear me?
Right.
He's not even dressed for the semifinal game.
Right.
He gets cleared on, we play somebody again on Wednesday.
Right.
He gets, I have to get back. We did practice him one day. He gets cleared, but we say we can't put him in the game just one day practicing. He's been out for 3 weeks.
Right.
But then he practices 2 more days for the state championship game. He out 3 weeks, practices 3 days, and I'm telling you, he made two gigantic plays in this game, 2 to 3, and one of them was on a steal, and he just took the ball from this kid. But so that's exactly right. So we take away that cut pass, and then we tell him the skip pass, and sure enough, Rader and Besh picked up a couple of those skip
sure.
passes because the trap was so good.
Right.
He couldn't see the guy all the way under the goal except once. And that trap just kept going. And I mean, Dave, we just got turnovers. And look, you and I just talked about it off the air. I mean, what do you say about my kid off the bench, Reese Melanson.
Right.
I mean, he was a starter at the beginning of the year, hurt his ankle on December the 7th and missed a whole month. And really, Dave, just never really got it back going again until maybe kind of the last couple of games. And, I mean, he's really our best three-point threat
right.
by far.
He's not exactly standing 6'4 either.
No, he's about 5'8". Why not? Well, Reese goes in the game, and he hits 5 threes for us. I mean, it opened up. You know, De La Salle was well-coached. They scouted us. He knew our shooting wasn't the best.
Sure.
So he played man-to-man, which is a good idea, but he played a real soft man-to-man and sagged it in and took away all of our cuts to the basket, right. which we usually get. And then every time Jaden or Carter – penetrated. They had two or three guys on him who pitched out, but we couldn't make any shots. Well, when Reese made a couple of them, kind of loosened up things a little bit, opened up things for us. And then our press got us some nice, easy looks as well. So, again, and then we just kept chipping away. And next thing you know, man, you know, we're right back in there.
Right. Yeah. Couple missed free throws. Not on you, but on them with like 2 seconds left, right, in the first overtime?
Two points. And look, this is another thing. You know, it's just how the game of basketball goes. So, Dave, we're in the press. We're in the press. And so we scored. And to be honest with you, you know, I wasn't going to call a timeout defensively, but I really wouldn't have wanted us in that full court pressure because there's only 2 seconds. Back it up to half court.
Right.
And my guys are doing what they do.
Right.
And I tell you, I thought he might have taken a charge, but they called the block.
Sure.
And he gets two free throws. And Dave, you know, to some it's going to sound a little whatever, but you know, Father Joe Brough passed away, and he's our chaplain for our school for 37 years.
Right.
We made the comment. Joe Brough was sitting on that goal and said, "Son, not today, not today. Right. You're not going to make
well,
a shot."
Well, you know,
I miss this too.
Sound odd to LSU. They got Wade Sims with them.
That's right.
You know,
and listen, this is funny. My daughter's keeping the score because she's sitting right next to me.
Right.
And my daughter's, you know, she's sharp and she knows the game. She's been around the game all of her life.
Right.
And she told me that
I've never seen her yell at a game either.
She was quiet because she had to be. But Dave, she told me. She said she immediately looked in the book to see who the guy was shooting.
Right.
And she said he made 6 free throws. She goes, "Oh no, not him. He had made 6 during the game." And he goes 0-2.
0-2.
You can't explain it,
right?
Man, you know.
Right.
And then Dave, I'll tell you right now, when that was in the first overtime, when he missed those two, I just knew it. I said we're going to win this.
Right.
And our guys knew it too.
Right.
I mean, that we had so much energy that bench, it just gave us all the momentum in the world, you know. And I just know we're going to find a way in that second overtime to win it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So now this is 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is 4, man. I tell you, 86.
Right.
I think I was 25 years old.
Right. Oh, we've seen video.
Yeah, seen that. Right. And I said, man, this is easy, man. When I win 10 of these, you know.
Right.
And little did I know, it is not easy. And I think the next one was 2013.
Right.
I had an awesome team that year.
Well, this wasn't one of your best teams.
No.
Our team a couple years ago.
Yeah, our 2013 team went 30-4.
Right.
I mean, that's a team that you kind of expect that, you know, had a chance to make it.
Right.
Then in 2000, last year, you know, we had 10 losses, but, you know, we had CC and we had Kramer. We had some good, you know, a nice team. And I felt we had at least a chance to get there. But this year's team is kind
and
of last, surprising.
And 2 years ago, Nate Cox, right?
Yeah, and we lose. Dave, we're so close to having 4 in a row because we lose by 1 point in each semifinal to Bossier and to who else we lost to? Bossier and to Bossier and De La Salle.
Right.
To Bossier and De La Salle. 1 point in the semis. Right. And both of those teams in the finals won going away. Over 10 points. So we felt like, boy, if we won that 1 point game, we could have 4, which would be incredible. But you know, that's the game of basketball. It's you gotta have some luck, Dave.
So when did you think that maybe this team had what it took? Because where did you guys finish in the district?
How about Saturday? How about Saturday?
After the two free throws were
at
missed.
At 4 o'clock.
I could still see you shaking your head after the David Thibodeau. You know, how did we win by 2 in this ball game?
Yeah, exactly.
But somewhere along the way, did you realize, when did you, honestly, was it a matchup?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, where did you finish in district?
Yeah, let's see.
I mean, this is the first time I think you haven't won district or shared the title since I've been here.
We'd won six straight district titles.
Right.
Yeah, and it's right. Dave, to tell you the truth, it's funny how it is, but after the Turlings game, which Turlings beat us at their place, and, you know, looking back on that game, I got criticized for pulling the ball out, and deservedly so, because...
Well, you criticize yourself.
Yes.
I mean, I do
Yeah, sure. Well, let me just say this. Like, I don't know the exact percentage. I'd be lying if I told you, but I would just guess, over my 37 years, when we go 4 to score and have the ball and have a lead, I would say probably 90% of the time we have won those games.
Sure.
We might have lost a few.
And can I tell you, Cody? Can I tell you? Right? They win the state semifinal, and he's texting me at the Cajun Dome, and I go, "Coach, can you spread it out for 3.5 quarters?" He's like, "Dave, we couldn't do it for 55 seconds. How am I going to do it for 4 to 3.5 quarters?"
That's exactly right. So, you know, we blew that lead against Turlings, but did I know we were going to turn the ball over 4 times in that last 2 minutes and miss a 1-1? I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have gotten us in that, right?
Well,
but had we done that, we wouldn't have lost that game. Right. But you know what? It was a blessing in disguise because after that game, You know, I think every point in the time in the season, you have this one game. You say, you know what? That's the game that kind of either galvanized our team or was the turning point of the season. And for us, it was that Turtles game. And after that game, Dave, you know, that's when we got back and we go to Karen Crew and beat, as you well know, a very good Karen Crew team by 15 at their place, who had beaten us twice at ours. And right then and there, though, I said, you know what? If we can play like this and if we can shoot the ball. You know, I thought we had a chance to advance pretty far. Now, to win it all, I don't know. It's a little stretch. But I felt, man, if we can beat Karen Crew like that, and then we come back and beat Northside, who we had lost to by one. And, you know, we just finished off the season winning. Right. You know,
Rain at the end?
Can shoot a three. And why not win it? You know, so I think it winds up being either eight of our last nine games we won. The Turtles lost being the only one.
Right.
So that really just kind of turned our season.
And what year is Jane Sheldon?
10th grade.
Okay.
Carter Domingue, 10th grade.
Right.
Jack Besh, who made the big plays, 10th grade.
Right.
Yeah, our future back. Right. But get this, though.
Well, he wants to test himself.
This guy
wants to go to the city. And when I say the city, I ain't talking New Orleans. This guy wants to head out. He don't want no part of Westchester. He doesn't want any part of Rockland County. Hey, Dave, can you hook us up with a tournament in New York City? Yeah. As if I'm from, you know, Queens or something like that. Let me get Archbishop Malloy on the phone. I did ask Kenny Anderson if Kenny remembers me. He's going through his own issues right now. We wish him the best. But... have you had any luck with that, or
not,
you haven't started
yet.
With that?
Not yet.
But you're going, aren't you?
Yeah, we're
going
to try to, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think next year we're going to Orlando, and then that senior year we're going to try to go to either either New York or California, one of those two.
Sure.
These guys deserve a nice little trip. But, I forgot what we were kind of talking about before.
Well, no, young guys.
Yeah, young guys.
You got these 10th graders.
Yeah, but listen, though. Listen to this. De La Salle. They lose one kid, number 11, who, to be honest with you, was probably one of their – he was tall, but he really wasn't one of – he's not one of their guys they go to, and he's the only guy they lose on that team. So
okay.
I'm afraid
– we're looking at a rematch.
We're going to be looking at De La Salle probably some point in time.
Right.
Yeah, well, let's hope it may be in the state final. Right. That would be nice.
Well, do you bring De La Salle in for the Sunkist to get early –
No. No, we don't want to see him.
Put him in the other bracket, right? Yeah.
Well,
you get a good scouting department, right? You guys never win the Sunkist anyways. What's the difference?
Well, we won it a few times now, just a few.
Well, but not recently.
No,
right?
Not.
It hasn't stopped you from winning a state title, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
You know, there's a little mad scientist. Absolutely. You know, you bring everybody in, we may play, right? You brought Karen Crow in, so we'll play you for three times this year.
That's right.
You know, you and your boy Chris Kovacs. No. Well, we don't want to play anybody three times, but we'll be in that tournament. All right, we'll be back. More Danny Broussard, head coach of STM. Two-time champion, four-time champion, but back-to-back here last year and this season. Back after this on a Monday Morning Sports Chat, 103.7. The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, with the head coach, Danny Broussard from STM. We got the not going my way, Cody. Do you see the Twitter poll question? Kaylee has... the entire nursing staff on my case.
She may have shared that to the Louisiana Nurses Association page.
Which marriage will last longer? I mean, it's Cody and Kaylee, 41%.
Hey, we take the win.
Right?
We take the win.
A-Rod and J-Lo, 6%, but Shut Up Dave is 53%.
I don't think they like the question, Dave.
No, I don't think they do. I was trying to mock A-Rod and J-Lo. They don't even like that part. Do we put up a question? Do A-Rod and J-Lo actually exchange vows? Yes, no, Shut Up, Dave. Put that poll question up.
I feel confident about that.
You do. I'm not nearly as confident as you are. And how long do you give the marriage? Over, under 5 years?
Oh, under.
There you go. Yeah. Did you see this, coach, already?
I did not.
They got engaged, Saturday night, 8:43 p.m.
Who's that?
A-Rod and J-Lo.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's just smoking.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
she's just smoking.
Well, yeah.
Jose Canseco last night tweeted out, which meant to be a DM, hey, J-Lo, if you want to know the truth of A-Rod, give me a call. Puts his number on Twitter. We have his phone number. We should call him. All right? If his phone's off or, you know.
Oh, I'm sure
you know what his phone's going to say? This phone, you know, you've reached Jose Canseco and his messages are full.
The phone number you were trying to reach has been disconnected.
Right. That too. All right, so you got four titles on. How much longer are you going to do this?
Man, Dave, I don't know.
How old are you?
59.
All right.
Everybody asks, I've been saying 10 years, but I've been saying 10 years for about 3 years
right.
now. So.
Right. How much longer is your voice going to last?
Well, that's the problem. That's right. the problem. Dave, I don't know, man.
Do the kids get them to yell at you so your voice goes out intentionally?
Probably. Probably. Right. Probably, yeah. What's funny is I have to tell my assistant coaches, I tell Wes and Nick, you know, like, for example, you know, in the free throw, block out. Tell them block out.
I can't tell.
Say my voice, would you please? Oh, what's funny is that interview after the game.
Right.
You know, this girl from Cox Sports. Right. On it, and man, I am trying my best.
Right.
I'm shouting, but it ain't coming out. And she goes, "Well, okay, coach, we'll turn to Jane Shelby." she was funny about it. She was on the top of it. But yeah, Dave, you know, I mean, I'm loving what I'm doing. You know, I mean, I got a great job at St. Thomas More. I got great people to work with. You know, my boss, because I'm the alumni director. I mean, man, she gives me great freedom. And so, I don't know, but I'm loving it. Hey, in 3 years, 4 years from now, I'm not having fun. I'll get out, but you know, I think I'll. I don't know. I just see it play by ear, but I'm thinking about, you know, another 7, 8 years.
Right.
65, 66, right. 67. I mean, who knows? I just told you, Jim Boeheim's, what, 73?
73.
Right? 73.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not sure I can make it that long, but, right. you know, we'll see how things work
there
out.
There may be a job opening down the road.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. they're not coming call me, I can tell you.
All right, so who have you seen the biggest growth out of this year? Do we expect Carter Domain? He didn't really grow between freshman and sophomore year. Did he get any bigger? How big is Carter Domain?
Carter's about 6'1".
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's 6'1", 6'2".
Any chance he gets a little growth spurt? Gets 6'4", 6'5"?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't believe that. No, I don't think so. Jaden, you know, I don't think a lot
did
of
Jaden play a lot last year?
Well, this is a funny story about Jaden. So, last year we saw, you know, we watched him as it coming in and tryouts and all that, and we're like, man, this kid's pretty talented. Him and Carter. So, we had plans to bring both of them up, right? So we bring them both up. Jaden plays, and then when our football guys come back, I bring him in. And I said, "Look, Jaden, you know the football guys come back now. So, I just wanted you to know. I think you can still help us, but your playing minutes are going to diminish because we just got so many footballers that you know,
sure.
like starters. You know, so he said, "Coach, I'll just play freshman basketball." I said, "Well, all right, that's fine."
So, right.
So he just played freshman basketball.
Right.
Well. You know, we go like whatever 36-0, and when that season ends in January, we know we always finish our freshman season in January. So I went to him the last game and I said, "You're coming to practice tomorrow for the varsity." And he played a couple of district games, and in last year's state championship game as a freshman, who, like I said, played probably four, five, maybe six games before, five or six games early on, does not play, and then plays the last about four or five, scores 10 points in the state championship game because CC got in trouble early.
Sure.
So we bring Jaden off the bench, and he scores 10 points as a freshman last year.
There
and this year he's the MVP. So those two guys are, you know, they're just special players that, you know, to do what they're doing as a 10th grader on that stage.
And now you got to find your grand arsenal, right? Not the biggest guy.
That's right.
Not the best shooter guy.
Right. That's right.
But kind of the glue guy.
That kind of, exactly. Him and Raider, you know, both. Our two seniors that we're losing are, we're not going to lose anything offensively, but boy, we're going to lose some.
Right.
Those two guys are our best defensive players, you know, and they just got after it all year long. And to replace those two, it's going to be different. We probably won't be, we won't find anybody of those kind. I think we'll be a better offensive team next year, obviously, but defensively, we probably won't be quite as good because, I mean, not this year. It's hard to say, Dave. You know, you look at 37 years and say this is the best defensive team, but they're in the top five of the 37 years. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think like a Jacob Holstein's coming back? You think Holstein's coming back? Caleb Holstein?
Caleb. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact.
Because they'll have.
Well, they asked me a question. In the press conference, asked a question. So I said, you know, there's already been rumors that Caleb, because he's going to be a big time prospect in football, that he's not going to play his senior year, you know.
No.
So I said, Caleb, do you want to dispel those rumors right now?
Right.
And he said, they asked him first. They first asked him, this is how he got to this question. They said, well, Caleb, you know, you're such a good player in football. You know, why are you playing basketball? You know, he said, well, I've been playing since I've been a kid, and I love playing basketball. I've been playing since I've been a kid.
Right.
So that's when I asked him the question about that. He said, yeah, I'm going to play basketball next year.
All right, good.
Now, you know, he does have his younger brother. Is going to be a freshman.
Okay.
So that could be interesting. And I'm going to tell you something, Dave. To be quite honest, he's the freshman is probably is better in basketball than he is football. I don't know. That's just what I'm hearing.
Right.
You know, that he's really good. So who knows, freshman, we might have I have no idea of knowing right now if he's going to, but it's a possibility.
Is he a quarterback too?
I don't know. I think, he is. Yeah, he is.
Well,
but it's a possibility.
He's got a little issue with someone who's also a freshman.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right,
this year, yeah.
Right.
So, but get this. So, freshman, senior on the court at the same time next year.
It's, oh.
possibility.
All right.
So,
there you go.
That could
look at him dangling that. You know, Caleb, if you come back next year, we can play with your brother. Listen, look at him working hard.
You got to constantly work at this game, Dave. You got to constantly work.
All right. Danny Broussard, head coach of the STM Cougars. They win their second straight, fourth overall. We lobbied when he came on the show, Ronnie Rance. He's going to have an issue with me if there's no Hall of Fame call for you in late spring and early summer for next year. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Dave, thanks for having me all year long. I mean, appreciate it. You know, that little 15-minute spot we do.
You bet.
Next year, I'm going to try to do a better job. I'm going to talk about, you know, I just want to promote high school. I know we kind of focus on STM, but try to do a better job of high school sports. But appreciate what you do for high school.
Bet.
I know you have
I tried to get there.
Yeah, no, you did.
I got denied. They wouldn't let me in.
That's right.
They wouldn't let me in.
We'll work on that.
All right, Mike Murphy coming up, 7:45. We'll reset. We'll be back after this on a Monday morning sports chat, 107. The game.
That's good.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Got a friend of mine trying to call me. She knows I got a show now. It's kind of odd. But that photo didn't save here. All right, we'll see if we got to get the back-to-back titles. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday Morning Sports Chat. 706-0111, 706-0111. Again, congratulations, Danny Broussard and STM Cougars for... winning back-to-back state titles, first time, and I think STM has done that. Meanwhile, again, LSU basketball is a mess. So are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I don't care about that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a big mess. And I don't care that, if Antonio Brown wants to go get his cash, congratulations to him. We'll see the next time he wins. And as I told you this, Cody, and I tweeted this at you, Damian Woody, former, I think, Lion and Patriot, among others. I tweeted this at you, right? I've said this for a long time. I think it's true for players, and I think it's true for owners. Winning does not motivate everybody at this level. You think that it would, but that's not the case. It's not. It doesn't matter. Here you go. I hate to break it to some of you people out there being salty over AB's power play, but I can tell you some guys value the money over the rings. As one player told me during my career, that ring won't pay a single bill after I'm done. It's nice to have. It's nice in theory, but ain't it true? At Cody Schutz, where I've heard that before. Hashtag sports chat. I think the same thing rings true for the owners. You know what winning Super Bowls does for Bob Kraft? Outside of, you know, more massages. Sorry, too easy. You raise ticket prices. Raise concession prices. Sell more T-shirts. Sell more jerseys. It's just a way of making money. And I know I've had, you know, we had David Hellman on here once before who covers the Cowboys, you know, for the Cowboys. And I say, you know, if Jerry Jones had the choice of winning another Super Bowl or having Jerry's World, oh, win the Super Bowl for sure. He'd give up Jerry's World. Baloney. If Jerry Jones wanted to win a Super Bowl more than he wanted Jerry's World, he'd have somebody in charge of the football instead of him. Because he played at Arkansas, he knows how to build a football team? I don't think so. That's been proven time and time and time again. What are they, 4-4? And are they even 2-2 since 93, Cody, since like their last Super Bowl victory? Are they like 2-2? Maybe 2-3? In the playoffs, but he keeps on running his team because it's more important for him to run his team and to rake in the cash than it is to, you know, to pay someone to build his team.
It's been about 5 years since WrestleMania has been in Dallas, so it's only a matter of time before it's back there, not to mention the gigantic concerts and everything that are held in Jerry's
National
World.
Championships and everything along those lines, right? No. Oh, yeah.
Events upon events upon events.
Right.
I don't see Jerry Jones trading that for a Super Bowl.
No. I just don't. He's got him. He's got his three Super Bowls. I've already won three.
Another Super Bowl, I should say.
Right, he's already got him. It's nice in theory that we think they want to win, but in reality, I don't think so. I think some players want to win more than some owners. Maybe some owners want to win more than others, but it's a bragging right thing. It means nothing.
What do you think about guys like, and maybe this is off of your point a little bit, but guys like Joe Thomas, is that just a loyalty? thing. I mean, is that because I mean he didn't necessarily chase the money,
right? And it's not
and he obviously wasn't about winning, for
right?
him.
And it's not about it's not like the NBA where you're getting more money playing for Cleveland, right?
Right. And he obviously, like, he wasn't worried about getting a Super Bowl ring.
Nope.
So that's just a loyalty thing, I guess. He just liked
it. We saw CBS, we saw Westwood One's Ross Tucker tweet out, right? The Patriots have already gotten Michael Bennett. He's like, can we fast forward to February 2020 where Michael Bennett and Justin Houston are get two sacks apiece for the Patriots in the Super Bowl? Can we just fast forward now? Yes, please. Yeah. So, and we'll see where this free agency thing goes. Good for Antonio Brown. I will say, Cody, let me see here. I tweeted it at your boy Chet. What they got was pretty good. What the Raiders have gotten, the Raiders are going to be pretty good in a couple years. Not anytime soon, but pretty good in a couple years. We'll just say what they got, just to not to list all of them. In exchange for, this is what they've picked up with all their trades. They got Antonio Brown, two first-round picks. So that's three this year. They got one first-round pick in the 2020 draft, so that's two. They got another second-round pick in the 2020 draft, so that's another. That's two there. And a fifth-round pick in 2020. As a Patriots fan, what am I going to care that this team is any good in 2021? Not one iota. Unless for some reason the Patriots keep on going back to Super Bowls and Tom Brady doesn't stop until, you know, they don't make it. Right? I mean, I could tell you here that I think Brady's done after next year. I think that's it. Right? They would go to four straight if they win it. They go to four straight and say he wins it. Now they've won three out of four. What more does he have to do? Well, you know what he's going to tell his wife? No one's been to five in a row. Then you know what he's going to tell his wife? No one's been to six. Somewhere it's got to end. So the Las Vegas Raiders can be good in 2022. We'll see. By the time they're good, Antonio Brown's going to be 34, 35 years of age. Turns 30 before the season this year. So 2020, he's 30 now. He turns 31 before the season. So before the 2021 season, he's 33. He's going to count a lot of money. That's okay by me. But just don't expect to win. And his antics, no one's going to care about his antics because he's on a losing Oakland team. And we'll see if Derek Carr is there and if they're breaking in a new quarterback. And yeah. As Larry Fitzgerald said, you know, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. You had a Hall of Fame quarterback. There's another prima donna. It's Ben Roethlisberger. He throws everybody under the table. Now we're hearing that he's going to renegotiate his contract to free up more money. Wasn't it just a couple years ago the guy was going to hang it up? All right, now we'll see what happens. No Bell, no Antonio Brown. You got James Conner and Juju Schuster. That's it. Good luck. That's one team I ain't worried about next year. My Patriots-Chiefs AFC Championship game is looking pretty good, Cody, barring major injury to either of the quarterbacks. Although now you got an issue. I think, did they tag D Ford? I think they're tagging D Ford. He was Mr. Offsides, right? Oops. And Houston is going to be let go. The Patriots got their own free agency deal, including their kicker, Koskowski, Trey Flowers, and Trent Brown, their left tackle. I don't know why they don't want to pay Trent Brown, but he's a monster of a man. 706-0111, 706-0111. LSU basketball. SEC championship, SEC champions for the first time in a decade. Hitting 50% of their threes, 20 of 24. No Naz Reid, no Javonte Smart, no Will Wade. Again, Will Wade, according to the SEC, scheduled to take his conference call at 10:28 a.m. I'm not betting on that. And we'll see. When you get officials that saying we're still open to talk, if Will Wade wants to come in and talk, as if anything's going to change between Friday and today. We'll see. I think Javonte Smart's going to be back. I don't think LSU's got anything to lose. They're making a big mistake. LSU's making a huge mistake If they think the NCAA is going to be lenient because they sat Javonte Smart in March compared to November, December, January, and February. Big mistake on LSU's part. Big mistake. All right, we'll see if any more news comes out of that today. Of course, he's got the Will Wade Show at 7 p.m. Can he crash his own show, Cody? That's not an on-campus deal.
I mean, right? It's at a restaurant, so why can't he go get a meal?
Right, right. What a coincidence. I just happened to be eating at TJ Ribs.
Free country.
Back after this, we'll talk Cajuns basketball with Director of Ops Mike Murphy on the KDM Sports Station 107. The Game. All right, Jeff Palermo coming up at 8, Fausti at 8:32. Again, thanks to Danny Broussard for hopping on. An improbable state championship down 13 in the fourth quarter, needing De La Salle to miss not one but two free throws with 2 seconds left to go in the first overtime. Another team that came away with two improbable victories were your Louisiana Raging Cajuns down 13 with 8.5 minutes to go at Little Rock. No Jakeenan Gant as he's out with fouls. Playing with four guards for the last 4 minutes plus of the ball game, and then no Marcus Stroman in overtime at Arkansas State, and they went in to win that ball game as well. We have Director of Operations Mike Murphy. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. I'm great. Thanks.
Any update on Marcus Stroman?
No, there's not. We'll find out more. Literally, there's not. I haven't talked to BJ, and we'll find out more today. But he's got a little bit of a hamstring issue. I think he'll be okay, but out of a heightened sense of caution, he wanted to go back in the game on Saturday. And he left the game early in the second half. We played with him pretty much throughout the entire second half,
right,
and the overtime. But I told BJ, said, man, we're not going to chance this with the tournament starting next week. So we'll find out more today.
All right, how'd you guys come back? How'd you pull that one off against Little Rock on Thursday, down 12, 8.5 minutes to go, and Jakeenan Gant on the bench?
Yeah, you know, we shot, our guys stepped up and made plays. Cedric Russell, P.J. Hardy had a great week last week. Jarekus Davis had a very good game, and I thought Justin Miller rebounded the ball really well. Guys did what they needed to do in with Jakeenan out of the game. This is a guy that scored 45 points. The first time we played Little Rock, he had five the other night, and could never get into a groove because of foul trouble, and sat, you know, a lot of time in the first half, and then quickly picked up a third foul in the second half, then got a fourth foul, and before you know it, he's on the bench with, you know, a lot of time to go. And we had to play small, and that was really effective for us. We were able to generate some turnovers with our defense, and we really spread them out and attacked the basket off the dribble. When we did, we were willing to share the ball. Worked it inside out, and like I said, some guys came up with some big plays to allow us to get a win, which is crucial, which allows us to play on Thursday instead of tomorrow.
And then you did it without Marcus Stroman. How about the progression of Cedric Russell coming off a bad foot? P.J. Hardy seemed to have lost his confidence. He's found it back again. Talk about those two guys.
Yeah, last week they were a combined 18 for 32 from the three-point line during the Arkansas trip. 18 for 32. You're going to be really efficient offensively when you can do that. And it really extends the defenses. It takes a lot of pressure off our guys in the perimeter. And when you extend that defense by making threes, it allows you to take the ball to the basket. And that's something that Cedric has done for the last three or four games here. He just hasn't relied on that three-point shot. He's attacked the rim. Against Texas State, he just put us on his back. Game we lost by one. Probably should have won, but it's a game we lost by one. And he scored, I don't know, something like 28 in that game. And most of those came in the second half. So he's really come around as a sophomore and shown us what he can do, what we were hoping he could do. And then P.J. Hardy for the last month has also shot the ball very well from the three-point line. But when you go 18 for 32 from those two spots, from those two guys, I should say, and it's behind the three-point line, you're going to give yourself a chance to win offensively.
We're talking to Mike Murphy, Director of Operations for the Raging Cajuns men's basketball team. All right, talk to us a little bit about Trajan Wesley as well, because this is a guy that, you know, again, he's a lot like Marcus Stroman, kind of a pass-first point guard, makes his free throws, but he rarely shoots, actually, unless he's getting a layup. In fact, he spun around. I mean, I know this was frustrating. I'll let you talk about it a second. But, he must have been in the lane for 6 seconds before they called 3 seconds because he kept on dribbling around in a circle.
He was doing his best Curly Neal.
He was?
And for people who probably don't understand that reference, he was at the Harlem Globetrotters.
Right, right.
You know what he reminds me of? He's not the same size as him, and I'm not saying he's this player, but it's the Brunson kid from Villanova last year. He would do that all the time. He would drive the ball to the basket, and instead of forcing up a bad shot, and I think this shows a great deal of discipline on Trajan's part, and he understands where he is and what's available to him. Instead of throwing up a bad shot, which a lot of guys do in a dribble to the lane, he keeps his feet under him, he keeps his balance, and if the shot's not there, he just continues to dribble. Brunson used to do that for Villanova last year, which I thought was a very effective move. And he does that, and he's willing to find the open player. And he did really, really well for us in the second half. He had to play extended minutes. He hasn't had to do that all year. Against a very good guard team in Arkansas State with Cockfield. And, you know, they're very aggressive off the dribble as Arkansas State. They'll shoot the three. You've got to play, you know, you've got to press up on them and take away a three. Then you also have to be able to take away a layup. And they're very aggressive on the dribble. He did a great job for us on Saturday, and I was really proud of his effort and his commitment to trying to do the right thing for us. And he was a big reason why we won the basketball game. But he was in the lane a while dribbling the ball.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're talking to Mike Murphy, Director of Operations for the Raging Cajuns. All right, so it's I guess it's South Al and Arkansas State, and the Cajuns get that ball game. And if you win that one, it's Texas State. And if you go further, it's Georgia State. We'll worry about that later. It's an 8-9 matchup. You get the winner of that ball game. What do you think of South Al against Arkansas State?
Well, we played both. We played South Alabama once. We played State twice. Obviously, we split with State. I thought the game Saturday was very significant because we knew that if we finished in the fifth spot, that based on how things had gone down already that afternoon, who we might play. And I thought beating Arkansas State on their home floor, on their last game, senior night, last home game of the year, with all that going on, for us to win in overtime with our point guard, our senior leader, off, you know, not able to play, I thought said a lot about our basketball team, gave us a lot of confidence. Should we have to play them again? I also think it creates some doubt in their mind if they have to play us again. And in South Alabama, it was a while ago that we played them, so we'll see what happens. I think it's a quick turnaround. It's a tough turnaround for Arkansas State. I don't know who will play, but whoever it's going to be, it's going to be on Thursday at 5 o'clock.
Right.
We're the first game in the arena for the men's side of the bracket at 5 o'clock. And we win that game to play the next day at 5 o'clock. But we're all focused right now on whoever we play. It really doesn't matter to us. And I know everyone talks about this. But, Dave, if you get to the tournament, I don't care where you're seated, who you play, you got to beat everybody to win. And that's just the way it is. There is no easy time slot. There is no easy team. There's no easy matchup. I mean, if you're going to win the thing, you gotta beat everybody you play, regardless of who it is and when it is. And you know what it's like at this time of year, which what makes this time of year so good. It's a one and done. You know, you win, you move on, you lose. You know, you lick your wounds, you go home. So, but I think the win, the way we had a win on Saturday, on the road in overtime in a hostile environment against a good opponent, I think will do us a lot of good come Thursday. I think it gives the guys a lot of confidence. And the same thing against Little Rock, even though they didn't make the tournament. Your best player, who scored 45 the first time we played these guys, scored 5. He was a non-factor in the game.
Right.
And you were able to win on the road, coming back from a double-digit deficit in the second half, midway through the second half. Once again, I think it gives you guys a lot of confidence in knowing, hey, I can get this done. We just don't need this guy to score or this guy to break the press. You know, and I think that will give us a lot of confidence going into the Thursday.
All right, to determine who's a better matchup between an 8-9 game, I don't think that matters much. And again, down the road, worry about Georgia State when you get to Georgia State. All right, Cajuns will get the winner of South Al and Arkansas State on Thursday at 5, and then I think if you win that game, you play 5 again, you said, right? And then that's much better.
Yeah, we play 5 against Texas State.
Yeah, the first time in 14 when the Cajuns made the tournament, they had to wait like triple overtime to get on the court. It was a late start.
Oh, it was crazy, yeah. Gabe. Yeah, if you remember, we played 2 games or 3 games in like, I don't know, like a 48-hour period.
Right.
It was nuts.
It was nuts. All right, we'll take a timeout. I appreciate it, Coach. All the best.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Go Cajuns.
All right, Mike Murphy, Cajuns. Rocking and rolling. All right. I don't know if we'll be able to do two segments. I mean, are we breaking down LSU golf? Softball's playing well. Anything else going on with LSU? Jeff Palermo coming up. Tiger Rag. Oh, man. Few things to discuss with our man, Jeff Palermo. We'll do that next on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
How you like me now? 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 Remember the time.
All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Monday morning sports chat. Again, thanks to Danny Broussard for coming in live in studio to celebrate the Cougars' back-to-back state title. Four now for the Cougs. All right, thanks to Mike Murphy for coming on in, and we'll see if we get Bob Marlin on tomorrow. He's not supposed to be at his press conference today. Not sure why. Probably out recruiting is probably why. All right, and Fausti coming on at 8:32. We are efforting Jeff Palermo. All right, now to talk a little LSU. We are live in the 237 Roof Studios, powered by Lafayette Roofing. LSU basketball will play noon on Friday, 11:30 pregame show. So we will cut into Rome, and that'll lead right into the Jordy Holtbrook show featuring Jordy Holtbrook. Is he on vacation? Is he not answering? There's a little bit of, oh boy. All right. Could have gotten an enormous amount of people to come on in and talk about LSU. I mean, it is, again, it's not going to end well in the end. All right. You may get a championship. You may get a Final Four appearance. And that's a lot of fun, and that's what we're hoping for. On the back end, it's probably not going to end well. But that doesn't mean I'm cooperating with the NCAA. That doesn't mean that I'm going to sit Javonte Smart. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit Will Wade. Now, these things tend not to end well. Syracuse is a great example. On the opposite side, Carolina is a great example of how the NCAA just goes, wipes their hands of it. All right, let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. I know he's anxious to talk LSU golf and beach volleyball from Tiger Rag. It is Jeff Palermo. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing all right, Dave. Right. I think beach volleyball had a big win the other
right,
day.
Right. So. Gymnastics had a 10. We could talk that. Anything else going on with LSU?
Two 10s. Had two 10s.
Two 10s. Two 10s. And you're married to an LSU gymnast, right?
Former LSU gymnast.
Former.
Yes.
Well, I mean, not current. Yes. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
There's a story.
No. We're not going all Tucker Carlson now with Palermo. All right. So let's talk about basketball. First, let's talk on the court. Spectacular. As soon as I heard no Javonte Smart, I knew it was Marshall Graves' time. I didn't think they were going to do that. Marshall Graves and Darius Days. What'd I say, 9 for 14 from three, and yet like 0 for 4 from two.
Well, they've said that Marshall Graves might be one of the best shooters on the team. And, well, he displayed it on Saturday, getting an opportunity. And then Darius Days has been a really good player for this team when he's not in foul trouble. And he didn't get in foul trouble. And, you know, you had two guys that weren't playing, Javonte Smart and Naz Reid, and you needed a couple guys to step up, and those were the two guys that did it. Against a really bad Vanderbilt team. You know, let's kind of put this
right,
in perspective
certainly.
As far as how dominating that. Well, yes, it was a dominating win, but this might be one of the worst SEC teams we've seen in a long time in hoops.
And that probably had something to do with Naz Reid sitting down.
Yeah, right, yes, I would think so.
We don't think there's anything more to that Naz Reid deal. I mean, he's not out because he bit his tongue, right?
No. And then Tony Benford said after the game, who's now the interim head coach, that they expect Nas to be fine for the SEC tournament.
All right. Having said that, I happen to think it was a oversight, not a typo, but you know, someone just sent out the same old, same old. Amy just posted the SEC teleconference list, and at 10:28, we're all going to be tuning in to find out who's talking in Will Wade's place, because on the SEC press release, it says Will Wade.
Yeah, I don't think Will Wade's going to be participating in that.
You don't think, and you have any chance that Will Wade feels like he needs to get some ribs tonight? Any chance he's going to be there tonight?
Nope. From what I understand, it's going to be Tony Benford on the Will Wade show tonight.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. All right. How do you think this all plays out? Do you think Devontae Smart is done? Do you think Will Wade is done? How do you see this playing out? And how do you think LSU has handled it so far?
Well, I think I'm in a, I don't know if I'm in the minority here, and I don't know what kind of feedback you're having, but I think LSU's handled it well here. Not to say that Joe Oliva hasn't made a mistake. Maybe there should have been more, and who knows, maybe back in October when this first report came out about Will Wade having a discussion with a recruiting handler about trying to provide a payment to a recruit. I don't know how much investigation LSU did back in October.
Right.
They stood behind Will Wade back then. And here another report comes out, obviously a little more explosive, a little bit more detail, but still no concrete evidence. But it's not the report the reason why Will Wade is suspended. It's the fact that Joe Oliva and F. King Alexander wanted Coach Wade to explain what's the deal with this latest report, and he refused to do so. And Joe Oliva at that point felt he had no other option to suspend him. It's kind of like if you're a parent and you know your son or daughter is up to something and you ask them about it and they give you a non-answer, well, you send them to their room and you ground them. And that's kind of what they've done here. Now, if Will Wade comes back this morning, because LSU said the offer is open for Will Wade to explain the situation, if Will Wade walks into Joe Oliva's office this morning and says, Joe, here's the deal, this, and this happened, and Oliva looks at it and says, okay, that doesn't seem like it's a big deal, Will Wade is back. I doubt that happens. Can Javonte Smart return? Quite possibly. Because I think LSU and Tony Bedford talked about it on after the game. He was kind of stuttering and stammering through it because he knows it's a touchy subject. But if LSU investigates and they find out that Javonte Smart hasn't or can't find any evidence that Javonte Smart received additional money, then I think Javonte Smart's cleared the play. How much they're going to investigate, how thorough this investigation is going to be, I have no idea, but I think there's a better chance Smart plays than Wade coaches. I think Will Wade's coached his last game at LSU.
Well, you were talking to Jeff Palermo, host of Tiger Rag Tuesday, 6 p.m. I'm no lawyer, but I'll play here on the radio. If Will Wade goes into the office and talks to F. King Alexander and Joe Oliva, guess who's next on the witness list on that trial that Will Wade is in? Couldn't Will Wade and his attorney say, hey, we're just protecting LSU by not talking to you?
Well, and that might be what the reason why Will Wade didn't go in there and talk to him is that he's being advised by his attorneys that, hey, you are subpoenaed to testify in this next court hearing involving this college basketball corruption scandal. It's best that you don't talk to anyone about the situation. And that might be the case. I felt, though, on Friday, when Robert Munson, who is the associate athletic director, sent out the statement, I guess this would be the second statement on Friday. The first statement was the announcement that Will Wade had been suspended. The second one, it kind of seemed to me that, hey, Will Wade needs to come forward here. And then I kind of thought, too, when they announced that they were holding out Javonte Smart, they put the decision on Will Wade. They said that in the statement that was released Saturday, it said Javonte and his family have been fully cooperative and open with the university officials. The decision, though, was because they're not getting any kind of response from Will Wade because there's a lack of clarity provided regarding media reports of these wiretapped discussions. So they're looking for some more clarity from Will Wade. So they're putting it on him to say something. And if he stays quiet, well, he's not going to coach. And but I still think maybe there's a chance Javonte Smart comes back. Maybe.
All right, we shall see. It's not going to end well either way at the end,
no.
I don't think. I don't
no,
think.
It's not. I don't think so.
Unless Will Wade can explain what's going on, and a lot of times they say they will, but they end up not doing it because it's, you know, over and done with. So we'll see how it goes. I just think that LSU should have waited, should have defended him, because if it's going to go bad, you're going to lose anyways. And the NCAA is not going to go lenient with you anyway.
I think what they are trying to do is protect LSU in the future, in that if this did go down, that there was a payment arranged for Javonte Smart, if they just keep their head in the sand at this point, the sanctions will be much worse than what they already could be.
Yeah,
I
disagree with that.
I think they're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that. They're going to be bad regardless. Doesn't matter. It's not like you're going to get a one-year ban now. If they find out payments to Javonte Smart, they're done for a few years. So it doesn't matter if they cooperated or not. That's my feeling. All right, moving on to baseball. They do take 2 out of 3 from Cal, some good and some bad. Zach has pitched better, couldn't finish off the sixth, and I know he wasn't on the mound when, you know, 2 on and 2 out and relievers came in and walking and wild pitches and so forth. But that's still not a Friday night SEC starter material. It's just not. I think he's got one more start against Kentucky, or else you could end up having Cole Hendry go on Friday night, I guess.
Well, you got to hope that Cole Henry's healthy, because the reason why he got pulled from 4 innings on Saturday was because he started feeling his back right around his throwing shoulder. It was starting to the muscle there where the shoulder and I guess back connect or something. He was starting to feel it tightening up, so they removed him. Now Paul Maneri says it was a precaution. But yeah, here you finally get a bright spot with a guy that goes out there and throws some a dominating performance against Cal, and then you have to remove him because of an injury. So that's now two freshmen that have been bothered by injuries. So again, there are just no clear options on what to do with Zach Hess. Maybe what you could do is, since Todd Peterson's struggling as your closer, you can flip the two. You put Hess as the closer, Peterson, make him a starter, but that's tough to do mid-season. So I don't know where Paul Maneri and Alan Dunn go. They did take 2 out of 3. Eric Walker still didn't look great. He retired the first 8 in a row in the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, and then he really struggled. You get a Zach Hess performance that was mediocre, and you're still looking for that great one. So, to me, this pitching staff, and now your closer, Todd Peterson, has got an ERA of 9. Yeah, he's got an ERA of 9 right now. So, there are no easy answers with that pitching staff. Devin Fontenot threw the ball well. He really won him that game in the second game of the doubleheader, throwing 3 shutout innings of relief. If they don't get that, they probably lose that game, and they lose back-to-back weekend non-conference series, which would be just a very – that would not be a very good sign going into SEC play.
Yeah, I think they're in a little bit of trouble. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully it'll even itself. It usually does for LSU baseball. They usually find some magic. They somehow pull out a SEC series on the road that they're not supposed to and take the momentum from there. But again, you know, I am no Skip Bertman by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I can see Zach Hess is not a SEC Friday night starter. It's obvious, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they don't look like a top 10 team to me right now, because the pitching is such disarray at this point that, I mean, literally, they may be just piecing this thing together every game. I mean, usually you can say, okay, here we got our Friday night guy, and he's going to go 7 innings, and we can, you know. Now it just seems to me every game is going to be a battle to figure out how you're going to get 27 outs.
All right, we'll hear more. Tyga Rag, are you going to tune in at 10:28 this morning to see if it's Will Wade on the teleconference?
I'm going to tune in, but I can tell you it's not going to be Will Wade.
I'm tuning in just to find out. All right, and then Will Wade show tonight. And then Tyga Rag live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. LSU doesn't play until Wednesday.
Baseball Tuesday night.
Oh, LSU,
right?
No, I'm looking at LSU baseball. They get Texas Southern.
Northwestern State.
Oh, Northwestern State. Was that a postponement earlier in the year?
Okay. Yes.
Good call, Cody. Good call. All right, I got to change things. Got to go to work. I knew I was going to miss one of those things. All right, we'll be back after this. Thank you, Mr. Palermo. Thank you so much.
All right, Dave.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Jeff knows our schedule better than I do. All right, Northwestern State tomorrow night. I knew I was going to miss one of those things.
This one, though, at least there's a valid reason for
right.
why it slipped through. It's not just Dave's like, no, I don't care about this game.
Right. All right. Well, that's the thing. As it's pointed out, Jake Magnum and Duplantis are going for the hits record.
Right.
And Jake's a couple of few hits ahead of him, but he's got two games in midweek up on him. So.
Right. And it's funny. I'll show you even LSU, their website.
Right.
When you look at the baseball schedule.
Yeah.
This game, however their widgets work or whatever, was just copied and pasted down because it still has LSU ranked number 2 against Northwestern. So they literally just copied and pasted it down.
On a side note, the Pelicans, by the way, lose to Atlanta last night, right?
That is who they played, yeah.
Okay. They're all in a bunch between Memphis, Washington, and Dallas. Right above the Pelicans is the Lakers. The Pelicans, for some reason, have 3 more games that they've played. You ready for how many games the Pelicans have played, Cody?
I think I know.
69.
Nice.
Everybody else has played like 67 or 68, and even the Lakers case, like 66. Pelicans could end up with that 6th spot and maybe a top 3 pick and maybe Ja Morant. Go get Ja Morant, baby.
Come on, Mavericks, Wizards, and Grizzlies.
Yeah, well, they start playing each other, so we'll see. All right, Drew Holiday is out. Anthony Davis plays whatever.
21 minutes, Dave. 21
exactly
minutes.
That's what it seems what it's like. All right, back after this. 103.7, the game. All right, we've touched on a little bit of everything. A lot of LSU, obviously. Well, Palermo thinks they're handling it well. I guess I don't understand the whole, and I agree with Jeff. I don't understand how you stay away from your boss when your boss comes in. You can go in and talk to the boss and say, I can't talk to you, but you got to come in. You know, Will Wade and his counsel and we have decided it's better that Coach Wade doesn't say anything to us, which doesn't look particularly good, but you just can't blow off the boss. That doesn't work. That doesn't really work. So that's an issue. We'll see how this goes. Again, Ben Love was ahead of this, of everybody, right? Will Wade, Pelicans coach. This was a couple weeks ago. This was before the latest bombshell. This was with the subpoena. We'll see how this goes. And someone else brought this up to me, Cody. How do you think this goes with the folks and the wife? Right? This guy's making as much money as he's ever made. Right? What is it, a $2 million salary? Probably looking at a raise. Certainly a bonus. I guess there's a story out, you know, whether he's going to get paid now for an SEC regular season title. But how do you think it goes over with the missus? They got a kid. It's not exactly going out of, it's not like he's losing a $50,000 a year job. I get it. So they got money put away. But he's not going to get paid anytime soon for anything else, at least not on the college level. Maybe goes... becomes an assistant coach, and, you know, again, you're probably making 6 figures, but you go from $2 million to $150,000, and you're on the road much more for that than you are for this. You know, we'll see. And his parents and everything, we'll see how it's going over, all right? And, again, we don't really know anything before we completely jump to conclusions. We don't know anything. If he can somehow explain what he's talking about, we'll see. Someone mentioned to me there is attempted violations, so to speak. Like you can be busted for talking about it. I'm not sure, so sure that's the case, right? But that's what I've been told. We'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. And it's unfortunate. It's going to follow LSU to Nashville. It's going to follow LSU to the NCAA tournament. All right. Meanwhile, Cajuns baseball. We talked LSU baseball. Pitching staff's a mess, all right? Pitching staff's not bad for the Cajuns. Didn't pitch well yesterday. But the bats have gone cold again. All right. Gunnar Leger and Jacob Schultz, no relation, pitch extremely well. Four-hitter on Friday. Dalton Horton and wasn't Blake Schultz who pitched on? Let me find out. I called it. Oh. Hold on 1 second. I got the scorebook.
Little play-by-play of what's happening here. Dave reaching back for his bat.
Right,
he's got the book now as he flips it over.
I only called the game, Cody.
Back to you, partner.
It was Jacob Schultz. I'm sorry. Who pitched on? It was Gunnar Leger. It wasn't Michael Lomont. Jacob Schultz pitched on Saturday. I don't remember who came out of the bullpen. Oh, it was Brian Young. I'm sorry. Brandon Young. Brandon Young pitched on Friday night. All right. Jacob Schultz did pitch on Saturday, and they pitched very well. You know, Dalton Horton didn't quite have it. He didn't pitch very well, but didn't get exactly lit up. 2 runs, 3 earned in 3 2/3 innings. Now, they did bring Schultz back out in the ninth, and he hit the first guy, and he came around to score. And they scored 2 runs in the ninth inning. But the Cajuns, just the bats are just, you know, 5 base hits yesterday, 5 base hits on Saturday. You know, the bats are cold. And, Cody, Daniel LeHair. I don't even have the rest of it. I got to find out. Let's see what he did yesterday. Daniel LeHair is like 1 for his last 27. 1 for his last 27.
That's
not good.
No.
Let's see. They dropped him to, well, they even got him out of there. He went 0 for, he only went 0 for 1 yesterday. He went 0 for 1 yesterday, so he's only actually 0 for 1 for his last 24. When do you lay down a bunt, Cody? Right, when am I going to lay down a bunt for a base hit? Hayden Cantrell as well. Hayden is struggling. 1 for 4 yesterday. Though he did, I thought he did walk. Maybe not. But he's seeing the ball a little bit better. He's got 4 walks. And he's 1-4 on Saturday and 1-4 on Sunday. So maybe he's coming out of it. He led off the inning, or led off the game yesterday. But, I mean, LeHair, again, not letting the offense affect his defense. He made a spectacular catch. But the team is struggling. Now they get a 5-day week here, and I missed the – got to get the drop, Cody. We got a great drop from Tony Robichaux. So we asked him, who's pitching this week? You got UNO and Southern Miss. And he goes, well, not Jacob Schultz. He says, not Jay Schultz, not B. Schultz. So I had to ask him the obvious follow-up question. What about D. Schultz? He's like, yeah, I don't know about that either. Which is pretty good because I did the fast pitch machine. I did the pitching machine there. Right. And I topped out at 47. And I'll tell you, even it's over a decade since I did this. Maybe not quite a decade. I dislocated my shoulder back in the day. So, you know, there's no reason that I need to rip it. Not that I can throw farther than, you know. But if I warmed up a little bit, maybe I can top 50.
Just run you out there for the right. Start setup guy.
Change up, right? Yeah. Right? Hitting speed is 87 to 89. No one's touching my 51-mile-per-hour fastball and my 42-mile-per-hour changeup. No chance. Everything's going to look like a breaking ball. Hope they don't move the mound back like they do in the Atlantic League. Back after this on Acadiana Sports Station, we got Fausti up next, 1037. The game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday Morning Sports Chat. Do we want to look at the poll question, Cody? And it's not like I'm not rooting for...
No, and you never even implied that. It was just a...
Right. I'm rooting for Cody and Kaylee, right?
It just so happens that I happen to have just gotten married.
Right.
This is a product of timing. This is a product of timing.
Exactly. All right. Let's see here. The shuttle.
Hey, I would more than happily be able to beat A-Rod in one thing.
Right.
Whatever that one thing, even if that's like being slower.
Yeah, Cody and Kaylee are only getting 33%. A-Rod's actually up to 8%. Shut up, Dave. Almost 60%. I am crushing it.
See, I'm going to take that.
Not. Remember, our threshold for liking the question or not liking the question is 20%.
Right.
They hate this question.
I'm going to take.
Kaylee, I'm on the Baton Rouge Nurses boop list
yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you are. I'm taking that 60% telling you to shut up, though.
Right.
And I'm adding it to the Cody and Kaylee vote because right. I'm going to take it as people saying, like, oh, shut up, Dave. It's obviously Cody and
sure,
Kaylee hit the
sure,
microphone.
Right.
Shut up, Dave. It's obviously Cody and Kaylee. So
no doubt.
I'm going to take that.
I have complete faith. Do we want to do the other one? Will A-Rod and J-Lo even get to a wedding day?
We have 17% saying yes.
Oh,
so,
no kidding.
So not a lot of love there.
No kidding.
They hate that question, too, though, in case you were wondering.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Oh, 48% shut up. All right. You don't want to hit them up directly?
No.
You don't want to take those chances?
No, they hold power just themselves,
they have
just being themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They certainly do. All right. We'll find out. I guarantee you someone's calling Jose Canseco today.
Oh, I mean blowing him up. Absolutely.
Right. No doubt. Yeah. All right, let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Let's talk to the Dean King of Acadian Sportscasters from KLFY. It is George Faust. Fausty, how are you?
I am getting over the flu, so I'm doing good.
All right. Do you have any faith in A-Rod and J-Lo getting married?
I don't think that'll happen. And if it did happen, it'd be over in like less than 5 years.
That's what I did. Yeah, over under 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be less than 5 years. They are perfect as a couple. Excuse me, as a couple. Dating, they have their own lives. Sorry about that, but yeah, I just don't see them ever getting married because.
Oh really?
Why? Yeah, no, I don't think they'll ever get married because they're too. It's like they're by themselves. It's their own entity.
Sure.
Each person has their own stuff and. They're already a super power couple. I just don't think they. I don't know.
Right.
I just think they're having fun. I don't think they're ready to get married or
right.
will.
Right. They could just do that. Yeah.
Will.
You know. But someone, A-Rod, wanted to put a ring on it. All right. Only 15%. 15% agree with you. 35% say no, and 50% are telling me to shut up. All right. I'm with you. I don't. Actually, it's 30. Only 15% think they're going to get married. 35% agree with you. I'm in that boat. They. I don't even think they get married. Not that I care, but you know. We'll do your take. I know we'll talk Raging Cajuns baseball here and basketball here in a second, but what's your thought on the LSU mess?
Wow, man. There's part of me that's like, all right, that's the way college basketball's been, and now LSU, because they're having a good year, they're getting they're getting the light shined their way. While programs like Duke and Kansas, Kentucky, they've been doing it for years, and nothing happens to them. Part of me is like that. The other part of me, I don't know. Like Will Wade is an interesting cat, man. I don't know that I'm sold on Will Wade. He's obviously able to motivate and coach, and he was willing to play the game. However, that game. Was to be played, and so there's part of me that is like the lifetime Louisiana native going, you know what? Stop picking on us, man. We finally get a team that's worth something, and you're blowing it up for us. And then there's the other part of me thinking like, you know, really you're gonna cheat? I don't even know if it's what did he do? He had a conversation. That got caught on a wiretap. So right now, we don't know if he actually paid Javonte Smart or whoever it might be or not. I don't think it's a good outcome for LSU. I think probably eventually, might be 5 years down the road or whenever this case ends, that LSU has to vacate, which is the stupidest thing in the world, vacate the season that all the games that Javonte Smart played in. So. To me, that's an off the field thing. If you watch the way they're playing, I mean, they're a good team. They're going to be one of the best teams in the tournament. I don't think they're going to win the national championship, but I do think that they have an opportunity to get to the Final Four for a first time in a long time. So I don't know, man. It's disappointing. My initial reaction is, finally, they have a good team. They have something to be proud of, and then they have this blemish, and I feel disappointed. I feel like, as a fan, I kind of feel gypped. But that's not the sentiment apparently in Baton Rouge. They love Will Wade, so I just feel like here we go again. Finally, that's gonna be what happens if LSU wins the national championship in football. Then they're gonna go, we're gonna find something to go blame LSU. You know, here's why it happened. They were doing this, that, the other. They always try and. It seems like to me when a non-traditional power finds a way to the top, the NCAA or whoever tries to knock it down. So if it's not a blue blood or whatever.
Yeah, but this is Christian Dawkins' attorney. This has nothing to do right now with the NCAA.
I know.
Will eventually.
But in that case, then was the suspension of Will Wade, is that necessary at this point? I mean, if it's not even the NCAA inquiring about it, it's the attorney. Did LSU jump the gun on that, or is that you think that was necessary?
That was to suspend Will Wade. No, I think they jumped the gun. I think they jumped the gun. I mean, because this is going to end badly either way. Either you win a national championship and you go on probation, or you don't win a national championship and you go on probation. Or it could end, it's either going to end that way, or it could go the other way, that he did nothing wrong. But we don't know that yet. Like you said, it's just a conversation so far.
Right. Like how do you suspend somebody for having a conversation with a guy who he may or may not have paid to?
And it'll look good, but...
Right. I mean, the kid's from Baton Rouge, for crying out loud.
Like, right.
Well,
right.
If I was Will Wade, I'd go. I in that conversation, I would have said, that dude wants to play at LA. He's from Baton Rouge. He wants to play here. He can get his happy butt over here and come play. This was his hometown university. He wants to go to Duke or Kansas or wherever else they was recruiting him. You know, so be it. We're gonna win without him. You know, I mean, he doesn't like. That's the attitude I would have had with that Dawkins character. I mean, it's just college basketball has been shady for a long time. Obviously, with Patino went through and all that stuff, and all that stuff that came out with Louisville a few years ago. That's been quite interesting, and that's kind of the start of all of this. It's definitely they're unfolding a lot of things or under uncovering a lot of things in college basketball right now, and I don't know how long is this going to take too. I mean, this season's going to go finish and they'll still be discussing this for years.
Oh yeah, so, no, they won't even get to the NCAA part of this until after the trial. That's middle of April. He's not supposed to testify until April 22nd.
So like are they hoping that But this is LSU. Are they hoping that by suspending him, the NCAA will go, you get to keep your national championship, you know?
Like, well, no, that's not going to happen. Theory? That's the problem. That's not going to happen. No.
Right. So what's the point in suspending him?
That's a good question. That's the point. Yes. They are delusional out there in Baton Rouge. All right. Quickly, Raging Cajun's baseball looked like they had turned it around, but the bats go cold again.
It's so frustrating because obviously Loyola Marymount is not a team you would expect. What do we know? But obviously this year has been turned upside down. At least the first quarter or whatever it is of the year has been turned upside down for the Cajuns because this isn't how they expected things to go or to start as this gets underway here. I mean, what's going wrong? I mean, obviously the bats have, as you said, kind of disappeared, and then the pitching has been, on and off again, and then I don't know. I mean, it's really frustrating because it's got to be frustrating for them because at some point you're like, wait, we know we got talent. What is going wrong? Why can't this talent come together and we can put something positive on the field? So it's definitely frustrating to watch,
right?
Because especially when you thought this team was possibly going to be able to compete in the Sun Belt, I mean, they were picked what to finish first in the West, and so at this point, that looks like a fool's gold prediction, you know.
Well, following the. On Friday heading into Maryland, I was thinking, this team's got to get ready for the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. That's it. And then all of a sudden they won five straight with some good hitting on the road and some good pitching, at least in one of those games at Nichols. And they did well on Friday night. And, wow, they could be 500. Now they're three games under once again. So we'll see what happens. They got a five-game week this week. Baylor tonight softball-wise. So you got a big ball game tonight at Lampson. Feel better, my friend.
All right, man, I will. I'm doing good.
All right. Hang in there. You can't get sick. You got too many kids. Can't get sick.
Although, dude, you're telling me. I got a mask on, walking around my house with a mask on, right, so I don't cough on my kids.
Well, that's probably how you got sick. I'm sure one of the kids brought it home.
Right. You never know.
All the best. Yeah, no doubt.
All right, thanks, man. Yep.
That's what I'm guessing. You get kids, you get sick all the time. Right, Cody? I don't have kids. You know why? That's probably why I don't get sick. I don't have any kids, as far as I know.
I've been sick more often since me and Kaylee have been together than before. That is a fact now.
Right.
I'm like, Faust.
Has nothing to do with 128 ounces of Coke you drink, before 7 a.m. in the morning. No.
That doesn't make me sick, just uncomfortable.
You drink soda the same reason I drink coffee.
Well,
digestive purposes only.
I don't know if that's the purpose.
TMI?
Again,
that's the result.
That's the result, exactly.
All right, let's put a bow on it. I think you guys should carry the, see if Will Wade's on the on the call SEC teleconference. I doubt it. Back after this, 103.7, The Game. This is a great picture. This, what you would think would happen more often in Lafayette than in South Florida. So when I worked in South Florida, Cody, the airport, it's close to Doral. It's not far from downtown Miami or Miami Beach. On the other side of the airport is Doral, and that's where I work. If you keep on going down towards the highway away from the airport in South Florida, you get to Perry Ellis is down there, the clothing designer. But if you make a left, the last left before the highway, there's a farm in the middle of, downtown Doral, there's a farm. There's cows in South Florida. You wouldn't think that would be the case. And there's a Panera across the street. There's cows.
Guess they got to eat burgers too, I suppose.
I guess so. There is a, what's the burger place you make your own burgers?
Fuddruckers?
Yes. That's where we would go. There's Fuddruckers is down that left. Yeah. All right. You got to take a nap after you eat Fuddruckers, right?
They give you, on your plate, they put you two slices of bread and a patty, and then they just let go at it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just passed out after that. All right. This one, though, KATC reporting. After making a morning commute down Johnson Street, the horse was stopped at a church in Maurice. What's wrong? He's in the right lane.
That's a country line song in a country song. Oh, there. The horse was stopped at a church in Maurice.
It's being held until the owner can come claim it. He's in the right lane. He's letting faster traffic go by in the left lane. What's the problem? Go around the horse.
He doesn't have the proper tags on his vehicle. That's the issue.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's check out our Twitter poll questions. You want to? I didn't give you the phone number, Cody. Or else we'd call. You want to do that here quickly? You want to call him? I text you the picture? Is he up now? And we're talking Jose Canseco? There's no way this is his phone number anymore, right?
I would be surprised if it were.
Right. Probably should have done this before the thing. Yeah, let's see. All right. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. But he'll have a new number by tomorrow, I guess. Or not. Or not. All right, let's check out the Twitter poll questions of the day. All right, the Shut Up Dave poll questions. Which marriage will last longer? Hashtag Shut Up Dave. Cody and Kaylee, 33%. A-Rod and J-Lo, 8%. Now, they're not even married yet. That's the next question. 59% Shut Up Dave. So, they just got engaged on Friday. Saturday. They got engaged on Saturday, 8:43 p.m. A-Rod put a little thing out there, and I can't say A-Rod's, you know, just trying to get attention. Everybody does that. She said yes, which is very nice. Looks like they were on the beach. Very romantic. 9:07 last night, Jose Canseco on Twitter, meant to be a DM, though, direct message, at J-Lo, if you want the truth about Alex Rodriguez, call me. Puts his phone number out there for everybody in the world to see. Then he claims that he's been cheating, A-Rod's been cheating on J-Lo with Jose Canseco's ex-wife. That's about 24 and a half hours after they got engaged. Do A-Rod and J-Lo actually get married? 17% say yes. 40% say no. 43% still tell me to shut up. They don't like that question either. I'm not rooting against them. It's one of those things. I guess I would be the surprise. I was surprised that Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston stayed together for as long as they did, unfortunately. You know what I mean? It was death till the part, unfortunately. But Kardashian and Kanye are together all these years. That's kind of surprising, too.
That has last, and that seems strong. For,
right. Did we consider Kanye a diva or just a little nutty?
I think he's a genius.
Well, that, too. That's something different. Yeah. I mean, so all geniuses are technically a little nutty.
Is that
what they say? Right.
I mean, it's a fine line at the very least. Right. There's a fine line.
No, he's absolutely a musical genius. Right,
I think he's got marketing and social media and these things figured
out. Selling $500 sneakers.
So I'm saying he's got it figured out.
Marketing genius, right? Well, a little nutty.
Yeah, I mean, to call yourself Jesus, on national television, right. Whether you believe it
or not,
you got to be a little
right. Using an off-color language in the Oval Office, right?
Again, and a lot of that may be just for show or for character.
Okay.
But even if it is,
you think there's a method to his madness?
I think.
All right. Could be.
You know, I'm a wrestling fan, so I take everything.
Yes.
I take everything as if it's written and scripted. So it's.
Of course you. All right. Thanks to Danny Broussard. Thanks to Mike Murphy, Jeff Palermo, and Fausti for coming on. Danny in house. We'll post those videos if you missed it. All right. You got the rap game with RP3 coming up, followed by Jim Rome. And then it's the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. Bumper to Bumper Sports will take you all the way up to the Will Waite Show. That should be interesting. Keep it live and local all day long here on Acadiana's number one rated sports talk station, 103.7 The Game.